要找一个翻译的人，师父，我的华语totally cannot， 因为我是音效。Am I the mic? The other mic？ 一点点啊，跟我的华语一样。Okay. We all, on behalf of all Kaya Mita, I would like to express our gratitude and thank towards Sufu, that first part, and the temple management.
Brother Teo 代表所有的 Kaya Mita,
for you,
来感恩我们的谢意。
For allowing us to use this beautiful place and conducive place to have the retreat for the fourth year in a row.
让我们能在庄严的道场上用来做禅修。
第四年了。
今年是第四年。
Then because of the wholesome condition and the conducive environment, we have benefited a lot from the retreat. Then we would like to thank Sufu and the temple committee again.
因为这边的庄严设备和道功德，所以让到我们
The environment.
这个地方的环境，安
宁的环境。The energy and all those things very conducive. 佛菩萨的 nature
加持，佛菩萨的加持和那个殊胜的慈祥。
Benefited us a lot.
让我们得益不少。
Then we would like to express our gratitude and thank.
大家都觉得很感恩。
Sadhu. Then, as per previous year, we would like to donate. 10,214 ringgit. This one is above the expense. You pass the paper to 师父，师父，他要给你了解一点点。那个，payment how to say？
像前年。
So we all should rejoice, Sadhu. Sufu, Ilang Porsi can speak Hokkien easier. Ilang Kaleo Porsi Jiban No Che, No Pa Chop Kui. Iwan Liang Pai is a Sir. Then, Chitada Sufu Men Taman, Woman Ehui, Bao Jiang Bao Kyo. look offer to 师父啊，可以啊，来。
大家通通
这个是给师父的啊，杀的杀的杀的。You don't want to take photo 啊？look 该讲 ，ever give me。杀的。Sadhu. Then finally, you would like to ask for forgiveness from Sufu and all the temple personnel for any wrongdoing or whatever that we knowingly or unknowingly have committed. Our usual way, you see. We would like to.
佛友们，我们通通要跟师父以所有三宝的法师与工作人员、义工们求忏悔。如果有错的地方，请多多包涵与原谅。
Sadhu. Then we hope. if we have done anything that is like noisy or not so proper, let us know. So we will be very, very thankful, and we will change. But this year I realize sometimes very noisy in the kitchen.
Brother Joe 讲，如果是说这一次我们禅修之中有带来对归师有什么不便或者是吵闹的话，请法师多多
指点。
指点。
我们会改，我们会改。
我们会改，
因为师父这一班很多新的，但我们都得。
我们吞龙一共七十
以前才四十。说这一次很多新的，我也觉得有时候很吵，吃饭的时候不好意思那晚上有时候他们又有些腰痛啊什么痛啊，但有一个很厉害处理这个的，说讲到很大声，很不好意思，晚上十点多还是在那边不过我说因为这些东西是需要他帮忙，所以我说小声一点，所以如果真的太大声，请师父给我们知道啊，谢谢，感恩啊。OK, that's about all.
谢谢，感恩。
感恩师父。We pay our respect one more time. 再一次，来师父。
在此，我们恭祝法师身体安康，法体安康。一切如意，福慧增长。
For those who don't quite understand Mandarin, Sifu in return also wish you good health, then good progress in the meditation and all those things. Thank you, Jinhao. Thank you. So, in future, let us develop the understanding, because people allow us to use the place. That's why I say we must have respect for the way, place, and the environment. So be mindful of what you do. Of course, you can also say, Brother, you also talk while in the kitchen. I never did like that. But when I talk, you are supposed to be quiet. Because like Vincent, when he do, he talk, he give insight, you should listen. Then, the side one, two or three talk among themselves. Then two or three talk among them, like fish market. Then luckily I went over, then Vincent, I said, wait, I talk one by one. You got question one by one. I learned that more orderly. Of course, when he hit the time, like Sufu said, no choice, piang. But if we can make you feel better, go ahead, don't worry. But try to keep your volume down, because sometimes all these monks or those people who are working here, they want to sleep at night. Then it's always very peaceful, very quiet. Then all of a sudden we all, just because our retreat, if we don't let you know, it will go wild, louder and louder. I realized the kitchen, first few days quiet, then not so quiet, then lagi not so quiet. Then at one time, I go in like fish market. So, in order to show our respect and gratitude towards the way place, we should actually have some form of understanding. If we can, Like I said, develop more mindfulness. It will need to talk. But after the retreat, better. You need to do sharing or what? Then gather yourself further out when you have free time. But if you really have discussion, you listen one by one talk. A table of eight, two talk, all four talk, the volume increase. Means four pair talk. So all this, I hope, you can help to reduce it with a understanding that we are using people's place and we should have a lot of gratitude towards what they have given us. And this place is so conducive. So what they call special, so unique. Like I remember Garrett told me first day when he came, he said, "Brought you this place where they're very good, isn't it?" I said, "Sure, like aircon. In PJ, is it very hot, very hot." So you really appreciate because this is like very conducive, natural aircon and all things. But early morning or middle of the night, a bit too cold for some. But it's better than too hot. Too hot, you need to on aircon. Wow, the electricity bill very high. But like that, okay. What they have given us is actually very, very cheap. They only charge us for the meals and 6 ringgit per head. But the room all free. Your pillow, blanket, they have to actually upkeep. Then hot water also free, electricity, lighting all free. So in whatever way, when we reflect back, we donate back the same amount. Actually, they don't really make money, is it not? Because they have to upkeep this place, the maintenance, the renovation. But they have a lot of other donation. That's why they are actually providing very good facility for yogi. And this is very conducive for retreat. So if you make offering to such a way place, if they use it for all this, like we all retreat here, you know what happened? Let's say one of you make it, the merits that all these donors are offered, or all those people who partake in, the field of merit is immeasurable. Understand? Then our Kayamita is different from normal cultivator. That's why this place is a very fertile ground for you to develop your understanding and make offering. So when we come to offering, if it doesn't cost us much, if we can afford, why not? Otherwise, you miss the opportunity to do all this wholesomeness. Even your sincere heart, 10 ringgit, 20 ringgit, it will go a long way, understand? Then if you can afford, you donate a bit more. I understand some of you are very generous, and I would like to thank you all for your generosity and support to this way place, and for whatever surplus fund that we can use for other activity. Okay, that one maybe tonight I brief you. We let Sui An finalize the whole bill. Miss Lee, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Wow, sadhu. Very good for her. You can repeat that for the recording. Very good, sadhu.
Zheng Chong Fa Shi informed us because we have a group actually sponsor the retreat for the whole retreat. But because and they booked for strawberries, the old supplier had out of stock, so they went for a new supplier. And the new supplier, after hearing that we are actually doing a retreat here, so they volunteer to Dana all the strawberries.
So now you understand how right livelihood can bring for great condition for Dhamma to be received. You understand not? Because you don't underestimate this group of yogi or Kayamita. the thing that you have cultivated over the last 8 to 9 days, I can tell you, if you can understand, the field of merit is immeasurable. And people can make offering to this group, even though very small item like strawberry. But the wholesomeness that this particular owner, who the new supplier, receive is immeasurable, I tell you. Yeah. So now you understand right livelihood, because he has this goodness. Let's say the old supplier got stuck. He got no chance to do this offering, understand? But the condition is such that the old supplier no stock, he become the one that receive all this. The old supplier don't understand charge, understand? Not to say cannot charge, because people are doing a business. But the wholesomeness that can arise makes the big difference. That's why when you understand this, you will know you have to actually have good livelihood, that power factor. Means you'll be generous. When you know that they are cultivated spiritual people, you actually, you can afford it. I believe the new supplier, the plantation, got a lot of this strawberry. So to him, it doesn't cost him much. He can afford. So that's why he said, never mind, I offered. But the significance of this action, because spontaneously through understanding, he make the offer. Understand? So, sumanasa sahagatang, jnana sambayutang asangkalikang. That's why when you understand this, you will understand how Dhamma function in life. And this is how merits can be received. And do you know, by doing that in future, he will receive the Buddha Dhamma. Yeah. And there will be a lot of wholesomeness that will go back to this particular person who make the offering. He will be like very well, very lucky, very wealthy. He will definitely reap a lot of wholesomeness. So we rejoice with his generosity. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we continue. Where were we? Oh, page 160. Oh, good. Your thought, right? That is why Dhamma-based and thought-based meditation will have all these problems. Oh, I realize already. This is what the book say. This is what the Buddha say. All these are your thought verbalizing. Understand? Because inside there, you dialogue with yourself. Is this what the Buddha say? Is this what the text say? Then I realize already. I am this already. So who say all this? The thought. That's why under Diamond Sutta, even a sotapan can never have the thought that he is a sotapan or enlightened. Because that one is self-delusion, sakyadity, clinging to the form in mind, thinking that that one is him. Understand? Like the Buddha say, that five degree of form in mind, they are non-self. They are not you. They are impermanent, conditioned arising. You grasp and cling and hold, you will suffer. That's why the three universal characteristics are very clear. Okay? We move on. Then this Sister Bilan is the best. I think from Australia one is. He said, is this the reason why when you go for certain retreat, they don't allow you to read book? Wow. Your Dhamma-based meditation. Then I say, yes, there is some truth in that statement. That monk from Australia, that Bhante Vimalaramsi, you know the condition to meditate under him is what? Don't know how many years cannot read book, Dhamma book. He said, you cannot read Dhamma book. I don't know how many years. Got this out, teacher. Okay, I will answer that. Because everyone is different, understand? You try understand or not? Everyone is different. Can you understand? Or you prefer the other one? So everyone is different, means what? Some are like Hui Neng, illiterate, or you give him book also he cannot read. So. But some are read book, like last time, my time, when I, my nature, you pass me any book, I got no problem, no issue. That's why the Singaporean, I remember that, K.C. Un, he I think last time in charge of Theosophical Society, he was my very very good friend, a very close friend. He was the one that gave me all these books on and introduced to be my last teacher. Yeah. And why did I mention him? Oh, very good. Thank you. You know what book he sent me? The Theosophical Society. All the religion also he expert in. You want to know which master is the best and the most famous now, he know. Then he go all over the world to see all these teachers. That's why he can locate them. Then he every time call me to see them. Then I said, never mind. He liked to talk to me last night. Then he sent me a lot of books. At that time, luckily, after 89. So all these books come, Kundalini. That's why I come to know a little bit of what they do. Chakra. I got no problem reading it. It doesn't interest me, but I understand what these things are. Then, because of that, I start to develop more understanding of what these teachings are. Otherwise, I cannot share. Otherwise, when people ask me, Kundalini, I don't know, I don't understand. Then all the various Hindu practices, he sent me all these books. But that time, I got no problem. Then during the early days also, I was looking for a book that can tell me some truth of the mind. I cannot find it until I met my teacher, Ajayendra. So people with different personalities, different. For me, if I got Dhamma book that speak the truth with the real Dhamma, I read only, I understand. Like Four Noble Truths, I read only, I understand. No need explanation. So different people, different. You cannot one size fit all. All cannot read. So if I become so rigid like him, I say Heart Sutta note also cannot read. How? Listen only, meditate. How you feel? You sure be tahan. How can man teach Heart Sutta? Got book, got note also don't want to give. Because so that you don't attach to Dhamma. Kaolat. Whether you attach or don't attach to Dhamma or the text, depend on your understanding as well. That's why when I explain, the first thing I want you to understand what you do. Then I give you book, no problem as well. If you have understanding, you can touch anything. Method, technique, no more problem. But if you don't have the understanding, method, technique is like hello important to you, understand? Then every time you gullible like those people, what method you teach? You tell them that method, they still not satisfied. You know what they ask? Is it vipassana? That word must come out. If you say not vipassana, not interested at all, understand? But if you say your method is vipassana, you say, really a vipassana can awaken one or not? How you do? If yours is easier than what he do, very likely he come and see you. If yours is more sophisticated one, he said, never mind, mine is easier. He want to look for easy one. So, living beings are different, gullible. So if you have understanding, you don't worry. But I explained to her very, very well. You listen. Yes, there are some truth in that statement. When you meditate, don't read anything. Correct or not? When you meditate, understand or not? I didn't say when you don't meditate, also don't read. When you meditate, don't go and read. But it does not apply to everybody because some people who have cultivated in the past, that one referring to my nature. If they read, the moment they read truth, they can awaken straight away to it. Now you understand, So it doesn't mean that you cannot read. You can read, but don't attach or carry the information or knowledge in the brain. then don't go and look for it. Understand not? That is what Dhamma-based meditator is. So now got two types, no? Thought-based meditator, then Dhamma-based meditator. So both also get caught on. So the danger is they scare you attached to what the text tell you, and you use your thought to look for it. That's what choiceless awareness is all about. Don't, I say, in the meditation, verbalize. Oh, I remember what the text say, what the Buddha say. Then, oh, you finish or become heedless. This is colloquial English. Understand or not? Are you so many? Actually, it's not the Buddha or the text say. It's your thought that say, you interpret it that way. And you cannot see at all. And you, wow, this style of English, some more say, you got sati. You dare to say you got sati, better than some more say you got sati. Wow, Malaysian, really. And you still think you are such a great meditator by saying that, I have been meditating for 20, 30, 40 years already. So don't come and tell me all this boo, whatever spelling you put inside there. But actually, they cannot see their own thought. They keep on quoting the book or the text via their thought, which is accumulated memory or knowledge and not wisdom. And because they cannot see their own thought, they got deluded. Okay, next page. Breathing or heartbeat, we don't have to think about it because it will go on. It will go on by itself. You believe or not? But when we come to the unconscious or subconscious or voluntary and involuntary action, how do you develop the understanding? So this was a question. This is, I think, Ching Hun's husband, Mr. Chai. Then I answer. You ask about voluntary and involuntary action, right? So you have to ask yourself, what is action? Action is the form and mind, or the so-called human being doing something through the thought. Again, correct or not? Then voluntary action means what? There is a will involved, as against spontaneous action when you don't think. So voluntary means you will it. Within the field of thought and awareness, there are three types of action: voluntary, involuntary, and spontaneous. But for your case, you only got two because you are only within the field of thought. You study biology before, isn't it? Those who study biology will know. Voluntary action is when you have a will to define what you want to or intend to do. Like if you want to come out of your sitting, or if I want to come out of my sitting, then voluntarily I come out of it. But for the biological experiment, it's different. You put your leg cross up, then your biological teacher use a rubber hammer to knock your knee. Then what happened? Automatic involuntary action. Oh, your leg kicked the teacher. Because it will respond. That one is involuntary action. That one has nothing to do with your thought or thought's intention. But from your physical, through nerves respond, it just moves. That's involuntary action. Whereas voluntary action is through your will. The third one is via wisdom, spontaneous. Means it doesn't check with memory. Spontaneously it will act through wisdom. No will is involved. But this one very dangerous though. If you don't understand what I mean, spontaneous, you automatic respond. Understand? Like kung fu. You hit back. Until I spontaneously hit him. That is not spontaneous. Spontaneous is the understanding, no, this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't go and think and consider whether when I do, I got merits or not. If I don't do, what will happen? You consider like that, then it's not spontaneous. Your that one is habitual tendency. People say something, you get angry automatically. That is autopilot. That is not spontaneous. Spontaneous is not deluded one. Spontaneous is with wisdom one, not according to memory or conditioning one. So this is the difference. No desire, no craving, no pre-planning, no checking with the memory to inquire whether to do or don't do. Like that better or like that better? Walk out loud. If you act like that, act like, not action, act. Wow, this one, next time I check. Means you don't have wisdom. If you got wisdom, you don't have to think or consider, but instead you just act spontaneously. Because according to J. Krishnamurti, this is where the famous quote came from, this quote. Acting according to memory is? Now you understand this very clearly. What is memory? All of your conditioning, all of your selfishness, all of your accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, or whatever. Then also they call your good and bad experiences in life. You accumulate them all. So you act according to that means you act according to your fear, your insecurity, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your delusion. So this type of action is all wrong action. Kiasu, then deluded. Not only kiasu, deluded. So now you understand why acting according to memory is not acting at all. But please don't be gullible. You don't go and think, Brother Teo say, acting according to memory, not acting at all. Not, next time I don't want to use memory. Why you also cannot recognize? Memory is not to accumulate psychological things. When you have psychological fear, phobia, all those things, selfishness and all those things, then you act according to that, you die. But to remember where you stay, who your wife is, what your name, what your check signature and bank account number, that one you have to remember. That is not psychological fear. That is not acting according to memory. Not acting. You need to live life. These are mechanical things. Understand not? These are knowledge. You can use thought. Understand not? But if psychological, like your fear, your selfishness, your phobia, your insecurity, you cannot use thought. Because that one will cause you a lot of evil roots or negativity. So understanding is very important. Then I put here, you only consider and think initially, just like what the Buddha taught the Kalamas. To the Kalamas, he said, whatever they teach you to do, you have to check. If I do, does it harm myself or harm others? That one you use thought to develop the understanding initially. Then you decide to do or not to do. Then if it is the truth, if it doesn't hurt you and hurt or harm others, then you can do. When you cultivate until you awaken already, you will do things spontaneously via wisdom. You don't think anymore, not already. Because the thought is always selfish and egoic. Again, understand. Can you understand? Via wisdom, you just act spontaneously. So that one, if you have the understanding and wisdom, you will know what to do. That's why you will know how to act. You got no fear. The main thing is, as long as you are sincere, you will not get into trouble. That's why the day in the Thursday class, someone told me, she can do things spontaneously already. It was in B while in the office. There was a colleague who early on had a misunderstanding with her. The colleague thought she was the one who did the year-end appraisal for him. He was not happy because he did not get a good appraisal. But later on, he came to know that his appraisal was not done by Sister Ng B. Then a few days later, after the Cameron Highland retreat, she brought some strawberry. That's why she's in charge of strawberry. Yeah? To her office and placed it on the table near storeroom. Then this colleague of hers walked by and spontaneously she talked to him. She said, "There are some strawberry there that I brought back from Cameron Highland, and you can have a try. It is quite nice." Surprisingly, he was very friendly to Sister Ng B, and at that time, Ng B didn't feel anything. But later on, when she was on her own, then with her awareness, she came to realize that it was the awareness that enabled her to act spontaneously. If she had thought about it, she would not have approached this colleague, understand? Because the memory will tell you, this guy don't like me before. No? Invite him for what? Understand? So all this can happen. But if you don't have that negativity, you understand there is condition where he passed by. So spontaneously, you will talk to him like a normal colleague. So any colleague, you will just invite. There are some strawberry there. You really want, you can give it a try. Because there was already memory that say, this colleague doesn't like me. So I may arise some misunderstanding if I approach him. So this thought will prevent you from doing that. That's why you don't recall memory. When she recalled and reflected upon this incident, she just smiled. Because suddenly this colleague was not like before anymore. So friendly. Now, he already like could respond with such pleasantness. Wow, my English. Now only I know my English so char. And now so different. Only Malaysian can understand. So this is the difference between spontaneous action that happened naturally and the one with planned approach. We are thought consideration, which is not natural at all. So this is just for sharing. Okay. Use the mic.
Right there. Last time this colleague, when he distributed out the circular, some memo, he will wait for me, not at my table, only he put on my table.
Oh, like that.
But now, since that incident, this, what year? 2013. Nowadays he started.
13.
Now he started to talk to me. He started when I was at the table. Also he gave me the memo, circulars, everything normal friends already.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Sadhu. That is very good. That's why when you have Dhamma, it's different. Spontaneous action can be very. People know you very sincere. If she had through memory recall, you think she can be so sincere? She will have like acted out, understand? Then not natural one, the invitation. You can feel one. They are not sincere. Oh, you want or not? Go lah. But he really want to share with you or invite you. He will call you by name. Hey, I bought some. No? I think it's very nice. So if you really like strawberry, you should give it a try. This is from Cameron Highland. So different on the tone, understand? Then sometimes when you got certain aversion or dislike towards that person, the way you arise your speech also, people will feel, understand? Like in Hokkien, uchi one inside there, understand? So you have to be mindful as to how you arise your speech, because the memory through its conditioning will condition you to talk like that. Because when you are not happy with that person, when you don't like that person, I tell you, people can feel that one. You don't think you don't tell the truth, people cannot feel. People can feel one, especially in the office or what they call working environment. Okay. Check and question the thought. This one is Bayon Kathy one. I think we've gone through already. You read yourself. Habitual tendency and memory. How about habits and habitual tendency that condition our action? You don't follow habitual tendency. Habit is what? Memory. Because you accumulate experiences. Experience that you like from your habit. Experiences that you don't like also become your habit. That's why you have likes and dislikes. Immediately after you see something, you react so fast. Immediately after you hear something, you react. Already. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought, you also do the same. Why did you react? Because you have become so heedless. And heedlessness develops habitual tendency. And what is habitual tendency? No need to think. Also, you will react that way. Because that is your habitual tendency, and it comes from your conditioning via your wrong view. Especially so your self-delusion, which will condition you to arise the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. To react to sense experience, thereby making you heedless. The heedless mind will condition you to have very strong habitual tendency to discriminate, react, and do things following your wrong view. That's why when you hear something from your wife, especially for married couple, straight away you will react. You may say, ah, I know what you want. You want to say already, that's enough. You may also do that to your son or your children because it has become so habitual. Every time you scold them using the same word like, told you not to do, you still want to do. Then one day your children may react back and say, ah, mommy, daddy, that's enough, huh? I know what you want to say. Then what happened? Then you kena back. You will become so unhappy, isn't it? All this can arise because you are not conscious and aware or heedful at that time. The habitual tendency took over through what? Through your anger, your selfishness, your unhappiness. Especially you are very moody that time. You just react. You are not sensitive. You don't have goodness in your heart. All these are your evil roots, born of wrong thought, that condition your habitual tendency. Because you already given it some thought, and you accumulate all these unhappy thoughts via memory. Then they become anusaya, your latent tendency. No condition, they don't come out or arise. Got condition, like a machine gun, they just pop up and fire. No need to think at all because you already memorize and pre-plan as to what you want to do the next time when the same situation arises. Then you will retort. You think you're very good. You also like that before. Why? Because of that so-called latent tendency waiting to erupt when there is condition for it to arise. So human being, due to their heedlessness, do a lot of this foolish thing. Can follow, not so bad. Should be, can you follow? Understanding fully and completely. Wow, how many more pages? Oh, I got 10 minutes left. Okay. How many pages? Oh, two more. Yeah. Oh, can. Okay, we finish it. Then you meditate less. Now we continue with J. Krishnamurti code. In this awareness, the problem unfolds or unrolls itself, and thus it is fully and completely understood. Which means no more fragmentation, no more only this fragment, that fragment, and instead you act with complete understanding, as opposed to thought, which is limited and fragmented. Because thought cannot see the totality, the overall. That's why thought-based meditation cannot develop wisdom and understanding. Thought can become cunning, smart, and intelligent, in inverted commas. Thought can be very intellectual, but it cannot develop wisdom. Thought can only develop knowledge, which is rigid. Because J. Krishnamurti said, a problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. That's why you must have awareness of the whole situation. Then later on, any situation, you will know how to handle. So just like what I've told you all just now, You cannot have a fragmented solution to spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding needs the total understanding of the whole of the thought and its content and their limitation. Also, how thought divide via words, concept, to deceive you into conflict, argument, war and attachment, etc. To arise the fear and suffering in you. And how thought project to arise the illusionary time of past and future, which are never the reality, to deceive you, to make you heedless. It cannot be at the fragmented level when thought analyzes things, or the way thought looks at things. We are thought being limited and egoic, only looks at things from the logic side, from knowledge and the intellect aspect. That's why I used to share with you all this quote. Whatever that is logical may not necessarily be the truth, and it is usually always the opposite. This Krishnamurti quote, if I don't explain, I don't think anybody or anyone of you can understand. But after my explanation, you can at least at the intellectual or knowledge level develop a high degree of understanding, and therefore establish and stabilize a base for you to receive truth. Then after that, you meditate with understanding diligently. You can awaken very fast, because if you already had that base, then with an open mind, the moment you see truth, straight away it will connect. Connect to what you had reflected and contemplated earlier on. For you had understood what that thing is, then the whole thing just arise and you just awaken. Ah, that's what J. Krishnamurti meant. Because you have seen it in the awareness itself. Which means the truth has been realized, no more theory. And you will keep on experiencing this type of awakening, because when your contemplative Dhamma is very stable, meaning you have straightened your view, then you can understand very easily. Through this understanding, what will happen to you? You will be no longer deluded by thought-based meditation. By then, the egoic mind, you can see it very clearly already. Then unknowingly, it will slowly develop the stability of understanding and wisdom that will start to change you. The way you live your life, the way you think, the way you approach things, and the way you become aware of things. You will be no longer like before, not like before anymore. The thought try to be aware. You will just know how to train your mind to just be silent. Silent means what? If your mundane mind is still heedless, then you need to decondition it via mind sweeping method. Then after that, develop anapanasati to anchor and stabilize it, or use whatever other skillful means that you are familiar with, like chanting, rising and falling of the abdomen, or your heartbeat, etc. And after that, when it is already stable, you just silence your mind in meditation, so that this mindfulness become more and more stable until it develops samadhi. Then you can use that to meditate. Then Krishnamurti said, a problem is not resolved on its own level, means not looked at in a fragmented way. Then being complex or complicated, it must be understood in its total process. Means the whole of the content within the thought, plus the way of thought, power of thought to divide, to delude and develop. To develop the egoic mind with self-delusion, to be selfish, possessive, fearful, etc. need to be understood. And all this can be understood via just silencing your mind and maintaining a choiceless awareness. Then you will be able to see how your mind stir, and how the habitual tendency come to be, and how craving come to be, how attachment come to be, and how it conditions grasping, becoming, and birth, leading to all the suffering. This is seeing the dependent origination or dwelling and the vulnerable truth within your own form and mind. the three evil root, the five mental hindrance, and five spiritual faculty via your sati. That's the real meditation. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, especially under Dhammanupassana, the first category of practice is awareness or mindfulness of the five mental hindrance, followed by the five aggregates of form and mind, the six internal sense bases and external sense bases, or the 18 samsaras, followed by awareness of the seven factors of enlightenment. Because by then, you are very near to enlightenment, and the seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising. After that, you will become very mindful, and the Four Noble Truths, you will see and understand them all. Then all the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, you will know how to do it. That's how your meditation can take off. Then Jaya Krishnamurti continued, to try to solve a problem only at one level without physical and psychological leads to further conflict and confusion. You cannot do it in a fragmented way. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, which is sati, this passive awareness, not an active one, which reveals its total process. An active one means the thought has come in to interfere. Then reveal its total process here means is to see the whole of the happening. You see it happening. You see how the mundane mind get conditioned out. How upon contact consciousness come to be. In the meditation itself, when you are silent, you will witness all this arising. Then the dependent origination is no more theory, because upon contact, you really feel it inside your meditation at the sense basis, because your awareness is always within the moment. It can only be aware of what is within the moment, and it is not a thought, because thought is a movement away from the silent after that. Thought then can project into the future and recall the unhappy past or scars of memory. That's why thought is never in the moment. So now you understand, huh? Thought is response to memory, hence it's of the past, within the field of thought, or the within the field of known. And thought cannot touch the unknown. Because thought need memory, otherwise it cannot arise. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, this passive alertness, which reveals its total process. Alertness means attention, hence no thought, just aware. And then you just silent and aware during meditation. Then with every moment of consciousness, you will witness the real Dhamma arising from you within your own form and mind, not through theory. That is how upon contact consciousness and feeling comes to be. When meditating, always just silent the mind and don't go and recall what the book or Paticca Samuppada Sutta said, like upon contact feeling arise. Then while meditating, you go look for feeling. Who look? The thought look. That's why you cannot meditate like that. Otherwise you will get con and be deceived. The con, correct or not? Correct, huh? Tiêu phiền, con is, con man, correct, from the word con man. Then they say if con is deceived, then all the consultant and contractor or con man. And I said, you are from the word con, they come. That's why our profession, civil engineer, when we open consulting firm or work for consulting firm, we go and introduce ourselves, where are you from? Consultant. Why? Another con on coming. Then the contractor coming, another con on. So the client always make fun of us. All these are con men. That's why you cannot meditate this way. Better this way, not like that. Otherwise you will get con or deceived by your thought, because you tend to look for insight in the form of Dhamma, which is not the true insight. And who look for Dhamma? Again, the thought look. And you still think that this is true Dhamma. You think, wow, I saw anicchang already. I saw dependent origination. That is upon contact, feeling arise. But actually, it's your thought looking for feeling. And you feel with your thought, which is not sati. And you somehow gullibly believe you had seen it. If the English has improved, will be good. Then when people explain to you that upon contact, apart from feeling, consciousness also arise, you say, no, you are wrong. Because you meditate with the textbook, like the primary school student, with the thought. But if you meditate with a silent mind, and you will be very sure, you will understand and awaken without any words, thought, and verbalization. When you have realized, it will be totally different. Because upon contact of mind, so many things happen. And he who had awakened can tell you that it is like that. And they don't have to check with the text. That one is the real one. The moment you mention something, he can straight away explain to you, yes, it is like that. Just like the sixth patriarch Huineng, who was an illiterate. But the moment you speak the truth, he understands why. Well, he has realized them in his meditation before. That's why J. Krishnamurti, this is what J. Krishnamurti meant by, there must be an awareness in order to have this total understanding. Your thought cannot understand. Then the awareness, which is just a passive alert awareness or attention, will reveal the total process. Because when you are silent, you are fully aware of what is happening. The phenomena will show it to you clearly. There are three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. Then you will also witness what the dependent origination is all about. What this world is all about, what life and existence are all about, what phenomena is all about, not from the text or the theory part. When you just silence your mind, you can understand many things. That's why I always say, you don't try to know while you are meditating. You just silent and meditate sincerely with the faith. And when the understanding arises, the form and mind will know. And you will awaken to it. There is no thought involved, but just the awareness via the direct seeing. Then one awakens to it. Then that understanding is wisdom, the intelligence or panya. And through that, you straighten your views and you can live life with that understanding. That's why after that, this form of mind does not suffer anymore because it has got no more delusion, hence no more suffering. Then finally, the note. Please remind me to also explain the importance of this J. Krishnamurti quote during sharing with Tuesday and Thursday class parameters, because the understanding of J. Krishnamurti quote can be very unique. Anyone who can explain or understand this quote, their mind will transform very fast. Okay, finish. The rest you can just read. We have gone through 31 plane of existence. Then 10 Dhamma rhyme. Appendix 6 also not bad. Appendix 6. Appendix 6 is very good. I think this one is in the note already. That chart. A trained mind. The first part, I read to you the first part. Maybe some of these new people don't have this note, the first part. The second part is in that chart, the color chart at the back there. The three turning and the three phases of Dhamma. That chart is further back. Appendix 8. So appendix 8 is a summary. Then a trained mind. Training the mind. We are understanding the essential Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Notes compiled mainly from various talk given by Brother Teo at Tiratana Center. 2014. Okay. A trained mind. What does it reflect if your mind is trained? A trained mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed and naturally aware within. This is a good check. If your mind cannot do this, then you have not trained. It has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. And then it will listen to you. If you want to be silent, it will be silent, peaceful and aware. It will just do so. You can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate noble eightfold path leading to heedfulness. It will become a servant to you. It will serve you well. A trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence is the base from which wisdom will arise, will keep on arising. And then the opposite, what is an untrained mind? The untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot and reacts easily to sense experience, and is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. It's like a devil's workshop, and it will make you very evil. You know what is a devil workshop? Devil are evil beings in it. So if he take over your mind and make it his workshop, what happened? You have the devil working inside there. That's why it will make you very evil. You have no control over it. It actually controls you and take over your life, causing you suffering. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. Deluded with wrong view, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. It has got no understanding of what is going on in life. It lacks wisdom because it is deluded. Then the third one is training the mind. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence they suffer because they don't understand life. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths, as taught by the Buddha. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful, to understand what is going on in life, so as to understand who are you, what are you, and how your mind functions, so that we understand what causes us suffering, and how our deluded mundane mind gets muddled up in life. The untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful, because of the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. These mental hindrances will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace with inner awareness. And to overcome the five mental hindrances, one only need to cultivate opposite five mental or spiritual faculty. When the spiritual faculty are there, the mental hindrances will be gone, and the mind will be trained automatically. That's why you should work on the cultivation of the five spiritual faculty via your puja, devotional practice, and daily religious routine. Then the three phases of Dhamma we covered before. It's the same one. Important or sati also covered before. Important advice to meditator. This one is important. We just do a quick one. Don't try to know anything during meditation. Always remember that. Just silence the mind and let things be. The understanding will arise on its own. The moment you are truly silent and relaxed, sati is already there. This is the silent mind that can investigate into all phenomena. Then let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story with your thought or Dhamma knowledge. The pitfall of thought-based meditation is one is limited by the instrument that one used to develop the meditation. Hence the inability to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought and beyond mind. One needs to inquire deeply to find out for oneself who is meditating. If it is the thought which is actively doing all the noting, laboring, chattering, and trying to describe the Dhamma and trying to develop the meditation, then that is not the silent mind. The real Dhamma can only be realized when you are truly silent. Then, using the silent mind, samasati. When your mind is silent without any thought, you will achieve everything. You will understand everything that is going on within your five mental aggregate of form and mind, and you will awaken to the three universal characteristics. You understand how upon contact consciousness come to be, and then how within the content of consciousness you will see how your mind stir after you input your mental intention born of your wrong view. Then how upon contact the seven universes which are common to all consciousness arise simultaneously. The feeling part, you will feel it clearly, and you will understand how upon contact feeling arise. But because you don't have wisdom, or you lack manasikara, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, feeling will immediately condition craving. Hence, without wisdom or yoniso manasikara, you cannot cut a feeling. You will see all this within your meditation, and this is the real direct thing. That is how you will come to understand clearly that this condition arising mind, the stirring of the mind and the reactive mind are not you, are not your true mind. They arise because of your wrong view. Then the Four Noble Truths, one by one, you will come to understand them. You will come to understand the realities of life existent and existent, what is suffering and the cause of its arising. Okay, the seven universals are described below. Okay, so five ways to overcome unwholesome thought you have gone before. So all these are done. Okay, finish. Wow, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Wow, record really finish. 15 months of Heart Sutta within one retreat. I want to finish it off because the recording, otherwise I will just let it be, but because I know you have to go through the whole thing, then you understand. Okay, you have can meditate. You still got 5:30 is our that one dinner, is it? 5:30 is it? 5:30. Now it's about 3:45. 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock I come back. 5 o'clock I come back because I don't have anything. I just want to come back for Q&A. Then you all contemplate, meditate for a while. Then after that, you go and reflect, contemplate so that tonight you can share. Do some sharing. Introduce yourself and share. Okay. Thank you.